Over the last few weeks now, we've been talking about God's character. And we've been looking at a verse from Exodus, which should be on the screen soon. It'll stay on the screen because that's good. I hope you can read it. The character of God: compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, overflowing with loyal love and faithfulness. We've looked at compassionate, gracious, and overflowing with loyal love, but I skipped slow to anger. Do you think there's a reason I skipped slow to anger? Yes. We don't. Anger is something that we don't like to experience. We don't like to think of God as being angry, but we'll talk a little bit about that as I go on. But I'd like us to recall some of the things that I've said, and I'm also going to give you some examples of me as a mother. Is that okay? Because God loves us like a mother, with a motherly love. So let's begin. As God's people, called to share his message of truth to this modern world, it's highly important that we really understand who God is. That's how God described himself. It's important that we understand who God is. For many of us who've grown up in the church, it's a really good time to check that our understanding of God aligns with God's description of himself, as we've been looking at. If God is portrayed and represented as a stern, unrelenting, demanding authority figure who is highly judgmental and expects perfection, then he will understandably be rejected by this modern world. If God is portrayed as a killjoy who is intent on disciplining and punishing in order to control and dominate people, then the people and the generations of this modern world will not want to know about him. For many valid reasons, the younger generations today have a real distrust of authority. They are sceptical of authority figures and institutions like the church. They have been turned off from organised religion and the idea of God due to scandals, abuse, corruption, and hypocrisy involving religious institutions and leaders. They really struggle with the idea of submitting to the authority of God and the authority of Scripture. In a world where much value is placed on individual self-determination and independence, the younger generations can view religion and Christianity as something that restricts their personal freedom and autonomy. They can see religion and Christianity as something that imposes conformity on them and therefore restricts their ability to express themselves as individuals. In a world which seems to promote the idea that there are no absolute truths or moral values, younger generations can find it very difficult to accept the idea of a divine authority that imposes moral values or rules on their lives. All of this makes church and Christianity inherently challenging for them. And what a huge challenge for us as part of a church to get it right. Because the younger generations are more and more seeking alternative sources of meaning and guidance in their lives and turning away from the church. I'm certainly not saying that it's time to water down God's word to make it more palatable to the younger generations. But it's time for us to really know and understand God and who he is. And we have the timeless authority of his word for that. His word which brings life. There is a marketplace of thoughts and philosophies, ideas and sciences out there for the younger generations to feast on. But you know, you can't survive without bread and water. Jesus said, he is the bread of life. He is the living water. It's time for us to be true representatives of God. true representatives of a God who is compassionate. God is intimately involved in the creation of each human life, just as a mother is intimately involved in the creation of her child. He is there with us before our birth and to our old age and our grey hair. He sustains us and he carries us. God's love and care extends for us throughout our entire lives, as we've heard this morning from Judy, from Roz. His care extends throughout our entire lives, just as a mother's love and care extends beyond childbirth. God cares for, nurtures, comforts, and protects us, his children. He willingly sacrifices himself for us. As a mother of two boys that are now adults and have their own children, there is not a day goes by, not one day goes by, that I do not think about my children. And I guess mothers here would say the same thing. They are always on my mind because I want the best for them. I cry with them and I laugh with them. I'm always available for them. I have cared for them, I've defended them, and I've protected them, and I have taught them. I've nurtured and guided them. Yes, I've also been disappointed in them. And yes, they've let me down, but I have never stopped loving them, and I have forgiven them. Think about how much more perfectly God loves and forgives us, his children. Amen. God is gracious. The gift of grace. We are redeemed, absolved, declared not guilty. This is a gift that we certainly don't deserve, but it's given to us with pure delight. It's a gift of favour because God takes great pleasure in us. Hear that? I've said it before, and these are not things I haven't said before. I'm just repeating myself because it's good to hear them again. God takes great pleasure in you. Do you know that? Do you understand that God takes great pleasure in you? Because you need to know that. It's important. We no longer have to live in a prison of guilt or be condemned to death. All we need to do is confess our failures and ask God for his favour. And he has a consistent and generous response. Grace, I forgive you. God generously gives the gift of himself, his life and his love. He is very gracious. As a mother, I've taken great pleasure in my children. I've enjoyed their company, kicking the football around with them many times, going to cricket matches and all those things that we did together, football games. I have enjoyed sharing life's moments with them, watching them grow and develop as young men. I have celebrated their victories and achievements. I have looked on proudly as they have been acknowledged and rewarded for their successes. I have also looked on with pride as I've watched them fight back and recover from overwhelming disappointments and failures. Think about how much more perfectly God takes pride in us, his precious children. Despite a human history of violence and death, and despite Israel's constant betrayal of their commitment to God, God remained loyal and loving because that's who he is. He can't be any different. He's loyal and he's loving. He's fully committed to his people, to his creation. And he showed us that by becoming human and binding himself to us in the person of Jesus. In Jesus, we encounter God who is full of loyal love and faithfulness. Jesus is the ultimate loyal and loving human. Love was the basis of Jesus' relational life. And Jesus was fluent in all of the love languages. In God, you are affirmed and your worth is acknowledged. He longs for you to have a real, meaningful and deep connection with him. He welcomes you with open arms, despite your failings. He is a relational God. He is not distant and remote. He reaches out to you to bring healing and restoration. He wants to bring wholeness. God is concerned with your needs and your struggles. He longs to provide for you in every aspect of your lives. He has a big heart that wants to overflow with goodness to you. He gave you the greatest gift of all, the gift of his son Jesus, a gift of life, life in all its fullness. When Jesus stretched out his arms on the cross and died, God was saying to us, "This is how much I love you." That is love which doesn't count the cost. As a mother, I didn't count the number of times I fed my boys. I didn't calculate the kilometres I travelled, taking them to school, to sport, and I didn't keep record of the hours I did their washing and cleaning up after them. These tasks and many others were given freely because I loved them. Think about how much more perfectly God shows his love to us, his children, simply because he loves us. And now we go back to the angry bit. Why did God get angry with his people? Because they turned their back on him. They worshipped the gods of surrounding nations. So what did God do? He gave them up to the consequences of their own sins. And those nations, who God's people wanted to be like, they conquered them. So God gave them up to those nations because of their sins. Remember, God wanted his chosen people to stand out from other nations. He wanted them to treat people fairly and justly. He wanted them to honour him, not to worship the idols that they'd worshipped. He wanted them to do that so that the other nations could really know God. He wanted them to be a light in an otherwise dark world. Instead, they became just like the other nations, walking the dark road to destruction. God gave them so many opportunities to change their ways, so many chances. Slow to anger. So many opportunities, so many chances. But he eventually handed them over to their destructive desires and decisions. And he did it with great sadness. Remember? Jesus wept over Jerusalem and said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, your people have killed the prophets and have stoned the messengers who were sent to you. I have often wanted to gather your people as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you wouldn't let me." He wept over that place. It's not easy for him to see people suffer the consequences of their wrong decisions. Yes, God gets angry when we oppress each other and we ruin his world. His anger is an expression of his justice and love for the world. That's an important thing to remember. His anger is an expression of his justice and love for the world. He's slow to anger. Because he wants to give people lots of time and lots of opportunity to change. But God wouldn't be good if he didn't get angry at wrongdoing and do something about it, would he? God's anger is expressed by handing people over to the consequences of their own decisions. Sometimes we forget that. God's anger is expressed by handing people over to the consequences of their own decisions. Turning your own evil around on you, if you like. For hundreds of years, God's people betrayed him, but he kept giving them chances. And as you read the Old Testament, you will see that there were more and more and more and more chances that God gave the people. But eventually, and with great sadness in his heart, He gave them up to the consequences of their own wrongdoing. God's anger is a response to human evil, and it's based on the deeper character trait of his compassion and loyal love. Because God is not content to let people sit in their own self-destruction. God is on a mission to rescue. That is why Jesus said that he was going to Jerusalem to die as a demonstration of God's love for his enemies. Jesus would stand in the place of his people who were choosing self-destruction and take the consequences of their decisions upon himself. In Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we see God's anger at evil and his love for people working together to provide forgiveness and life for a humanity lost in self-ruin. I think that's worth reading again. In Jesus' death, life, and resurrection, we see God's anger at evil and his love for people working together to provide forgiveness and life for a humanity lost in self-ruin. God's anger is not the end of the story. And when God is angry and brings justice, it's because he is good and he is extremely patient, working out his plan to rescue and restore people to his love. His anger is based on compassion and loyal love. He doesn't want us to continue in our destructive ways. As a mother, I have been displeased and angry with my children. I hope that they would make good, wholesome choices for their lives. I had endeavoured to instruct them and teach them the ways of God, and I had hoped and prayed that this would keep them on the straight and narrow path. But ultimately, it was their life. I had to allow them the freedom to make their own decisions. Yet, because I loved my precious children, I had to warn them, to let them know that some of their decisions were concerning me. I had to let them know that some of their decisions were going to have serious consequences. I even had to watch them walk a destructive path. And the last time I left Darwin, it was because of my son. Because I was so distraught at what he was doing and the way he was going that I just had to walk away. Didn't mean that I didn't love him and didn't mean that I didn't keep in touch with him. It meant that I just couldn't watch anymore. Fortunately, after lots of prayer, he decided to walk a different way and God rescued him. God hands people over to their destructive desires and decisions, even if it leads to death. But God is patient, giving people time to come to their senses and change. As a mother agonizing over my son, it makes me, in some small way, understand how much God agonizes over the rebellion of his children. And how, like me, I longed for John to understand that it just wasn't a good path. How God longs for us to come home. The story of the prodigal son is one of my favourite stories. The son who goes off, does his own thing, spends all the money, and then when he's really destitute, down in the gutter, he decides to go home and beg his father for forgiveness. And he says, I'll just be a servant. But his father welcomes him. He's been waiting for him. He welcomes him with open arms. And he says, I come back. No, you're not going to be a servant. You're still my son. I love you. He puts a ring on his finger and he says, you're mine. God longs for us to leave our rebellious ways and to come home to him. You know, God took a pretty big risk when he gave us all the freedom of choice. And throughout countless generations, it's proven to be a real problem for humanity. God's creation has constantly rebelled against him and turned their backs on him. But, there's a big but, he has never punished us as we deserved. Instead, he loves us so much that he sacrificed himself for us. This is the true nature and character of God. He is a loyal, loving, compassionate, gracious God who's totally committed to us, his children. And he's on a rescue mission to bring all his rebellious children home because he desperately wants to save them from the consequences of their insurrection. This is our God. This is his true character. Amen.